Across the Americas on Pan Am Saturn Galaxy, throughout Europe on the Astra Satellite System, and around the world on shortwave and internet, this is the Dutch International Service. Media Network, the weekly communications magazine with Jonathan Marks and Diana Jansen.
Hello, a news edition this week focusing on your feedback. We've quite a backlog, so let's take the first caller to Radio Netherlands answer line, Hilversum 6724222.
Yes, we take just a selection from the people who spotted something.
Hello, Jonathan. This is James Robinson in Birkenhead, England. What a good job you're finally on satellite for 24 hours a day on Channel 64. Much more convenient. Reception is excellent. I no longer need to use my shortwave radio to listen to you anymore, even in the morning, because the Pacific transmission is on 7.92 megahertz. And it's much more convenient than having to rely on the World Radio Network, because then you transmit your Media Network show, which is one of my favourite programmes.
Joining me now in the studio is Jan Willem-Drexager, who's head of our Distribution and Frequency Planning Division at Radio Netherlands. Because we have something to celebrate, we've actually set up another audio subcarrier on Astra, and it was officially inaugurated last Saturday, the 1st of July. Let's build up what you can now hear in English on the Astra 1C transponder 64. It's used by RTL5. The exact frequency is 10.936 gigahertz, vertical polarization. And the two subcarriers that Radio Netherlands is using. The first is 7.74 megahertz, and that's being used mainly by our Dutch service. Jan Willem, what's going on 7.92? Because up till now that hasn't been active, but it's come on the air.
Yes, that's right, Jonathan. We have the lunchtime transmission to Europe now also on this subcarrier. So from 10.30 UTC, 2 hours onwards, we have the transmission, which is also on shortwave.
So, as from last Saturday, you can not only hear the evening broadcast in parallel with the medium wave service, but also the lunchtime programme in parallel with the shortwave service. And on the 7.92 and 7.74 megahertz subcarriers, we've also got the English to other parts of the world. For example, on 7.92 megahertz at 0730 UTC, the 3 hour block which goes to the Pacific. And also, I believe the North American service is available.
Yes, that's correct. From 2330 to 0130 UTC, we have the service to North America East. And we have also the transmission to North America West from 0430 to 0525 UTC. That's on the second subcarrier.
And has there been much reaction to the use of the subcarrier so far?
Yes, we get several reactions from, for instance, Spain. We get reactions from listeners who suddenly notices on the subcarrier.
So people are monitoring them?
Yes, that's right.
Which isn't too surprising, because we've been doing a bus and billboard campaign here in the Netherlands to promote it. Just to recap then, on Astra 1C, transponder 64, you can find English from Radio Netherlands on 7.74 megahertz at midnight 30 to 02.30, 04.30 to 05.30, 18.30 to 19.30, and 20.30 to 22.30 UTC.
You can also listen on subcarrier 7.92 megahertz. English is at 0730 to 1230, 1930 to 2030, 2330 to 0130, and 0430 to 0530 UTC.
There are no plans to drop the feeds to the World Radio Network, because WRN puts our signal onto cable systems around Europe and feeds the signal to the CBC overnight service in North America. We'll make sure that a plan of all this is printed in the winter edition of On Target.
To find out what we're doing next, now's the time to register for our free newsletter, On Target. All you have to do is send us a letter with your name and address, and we'll send you On Target. Then we'll leave you alone. We figure if you like it, you'll listen.
I confess we're both amazed by the interest in radio nostalgia. Over the last couple of months, we've tried to vary the program with in-depth documentary-style features, either about new technology or looking back at the war years. and those shows have been interleaved with programmes covering items in brief.
It's a formula which seems to work, and it's gratifying from this end that the research we put in to prepare the features prompt people to write in, or in some cases, pick up the phone.
Hello, Jonathan. This is Doug Emerson calling from Painesville, Ohio, USA, on this rainy Friday, June 30th, 1995, here in the States. I had to call and tell you how much I enjoyed your documentary just aired on Media Network concerning Radio Luxembourg. I used to listen to them on 6090 here in the States, and I had the great privilege of hearing the great 208 during two trips to England in 1981 and 1983. It's a shame they don't broadcast in English anymore.
Hello, Deanna and Jonathan of Media Network. It's Andy Reid calling from Peterborough, Canada. I want to say how much I really enjoyed last Thursday's show with the Luxembourg report with all the stations and broadcasting going on there. I thought it was a really interesting program with all the transmitters and the things that have gone on in the past and what is going on now. It reminds me of the show Jonathan did a few years ago for Media Network of the RBI studios from Berlin. Hopefully more of these programs can be done in the future, such as the transmitting site in Lewis, France, and some of the big stations the BBC has, domestic and international in the UK.
And so the list goes on.
No objections. We did get a question from David Chang, who faxed us from Taipei, saying he recalls technical books referring to the Luxembourg effect. Is that somehow connected to the radio station or a person by that name?
Actually, it's the radio station. It's all to do with mixing, in fact. A radio receiver's job is quite difficult. The antenna picks up all the signals from DC to daylight and presents them to the input terminals of the radio. It's in the receiver's job to pick out the station you want and reject the rest. Sometimes powerful signals can overload the input circuitry and you get ghost signals. In other words, because of internal mixing products, you find a station on the dial that isn't really broadcasting on that frequency.
But that's a technological problem. If I read the references correctly, the Luxembourg effect is a natural phenomenon.
Yes, but again, it's all to do with mixing in the world of high-power broadcasting. We checked the Radio Engineer's Handbook of 1943, written by Frederick Evans Terman, who explains that the action of the ionosphere upon a radio wave isn't linear. In other words, the effect is not proportional to the amplitude of the wave. What does all that mean? Well, it means, as a result, there's a possibility that two strong radio waves passing through the same part of the ionosphere simultaneously can interact up there to produce cross-modulation products. Radio Luxembourg has operated a long-wave transmitter for decades at very high power. In the 1930s, people noticed that sometimes if you listened to a medium-wave station, you could hear the long-wave service of Radio Luxembourg in the background. It wasn't because of mixing inside the receiver, but rather mixing up there in the ionosphere.
But it didn't happen with all stations.
Now, you got the effect if you listen to a medium wave station and Luxembourg happened to be between you and that medium wave station. The effect was caused by the high angle radiation from the Luxembourg antenna modulating the ionosphere above Radio Luxembourg, and thus the medium wave signal being refracted at that point.
Ah, so now we know.
By the way, did you enjoy the trip to Luxembourg?
Yes, and in fact we've more to report in 2 weeks' time when we look at the home of the Astra satellite system at Betzdorf. I was amazed how remote and rural everything was. The city of Luxembourg is great if you like peace and quiet. Personally, I prefer the cafes in Amsterdam. More people, more fun.
So, Lux is a bit too quiet. Well, a few seconds walk from one of Amsterdam's most famous tourist attractions, the Leidseplein, you'll find a theatre called the Bali. Over the weekend of June 24th, 25th, a lot of radio people gathered there for a festival called, if you translated, Boundless Sound.
At any one time, up to 400 people came along to share concern about what is possibly the most interesting form of radio, namely the radio documentary. In a world of sound bites with just short and snappy items, is there still a market for a half-hour program about one theme? At Radio Netherlands, we believe there is, and we're always amazed as to the number of people who sit down and concentrate on both lighter and more serious subjects. But on many domestic services, radio documentaries are either being scrapped because they are too expensive or relegated to strange hours when it's assumed that no one will listen. Documentary makers from several countries were asked to justify why everything shouldn't simply be left to television.
Hide your eyes and count to 100. grenzeloos geluid. Het eerste Nederlandse festival van de radiodocumentaire. Een driedaagse zoektocht naar de kracht van geluid. Naar de intimiteit van radio. Naar de spanning van de stilte.
They say the last sense to go before we die is sound, is hearing. So, at a very basic level, sound is a very powerful medium.
When you're listening, you're creating pictures in your mind's eye.
Specific quality of sound is that it is around you. It's room. Sound is room and pictures are flat.
Well, I like to manipulate people's feelings, and to do that I use sound, because sound moves the feelings of people much more than pictures. That's why I like radio.
Well, the thing called TV, of course, has the enormous advantage of pictures, which immediately communicate certain situations. But TV cannot deal with ideas, and TV is also very limiting. And I think the power of sound lies in the fact that it addresses that huge screen, that visual screen that we all have in our minds, and makes us create pictures and join in.
Well, television is a strong friend or enemy. It takes over your house. It holds you in its grip. But I think when it releases you, you have nothing special. In fact, I always go to bed rather exhausted after trying to watch television. The power of sound is that it leaves you free to explore your thoughts, your ideas, and it brings into your head images that are entirely personal and yet maybe universal too. You can't tell that. So television shuts me off, radio draws me in.
More detail from that festival in 2 weeks' time, but in the meantime, we've been interested to hear your reactions for inclusion in that programme on July 20th. Do you feel there's still magic in the radio documentary? And if so, why? Call us, fax us, or email us. Or drop a line to Media Network, Radio Netherlands, Box 222, 1200, JG, Hilversum, in the Netherlands. In fact, our Dutch service is planning to do a lot more in the documentary-making field this coming winter.
We've already expanded in other areas. On the 27th of June, Radio Netherlands inaugurated a new service in Papiamento, designed for the islands of Curaçao and Bonaire in the Netherlands Antilles, and Aruba, which has a separate status in the Kingdom of the Netherlands. The Minister of Aruba, Mr. Mito Kroes, officially opened the new service by reading the news in Papiamento.
Oyente dan bon dia. Es aquita Radio Nederland Wereldomroep cu su boletín de noticias na Papiamento di Jamars 27 de juli.
It's hoped the new service from Radio Netherlands, which goes out for 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week, will build more cultural bridges across the Atlantic and the Caribbean Sea. The programme is satellite-fed to radio stations on the islands for rebroadcasting at 10:30 UTC.
Hello, this is Julius Hermans calling from Bredenbroek. As happens more often in summer, there are great FM conditions today. Today I enjoyed reception here on the FM band in Holland from stations in Morocco, Spain, Portugal, Bulgaria and Turkey. So great FM conditions here. And one mystery popped up. A few seconds I heard a signal from BBC World Service on 91.1 FM, 91.1. The program was in parallel to 648 medium wave, and I presume this is one of the relays the BBC has in some of those East European towns. So maybe one of the listeners, or maybe someone listening at BBC Monitoring, could tell me in which town they have a relay on 91.1 FM.
According to our colleagues in London, BBC World Service has a 24-hour FM outlet in Sofia, the capital of Bulgaria, operating on 91 megahertz. That's the nearest they could get to. We think that's what you heard, bearing in mind the FM propagation at that time.
Talking of mysteries, Chris Greenway of BBC Monitoring has been busy doing some detective work on a shortwave station out of Israel. Most people will immediately think of Call Israel now, but in this case it isn't. Chris, you found a station which was last heard about 15 years ago. What are the details?
That's right. We were tipped off to the fact that something was happening on shortwave via the internet last week, and we checked this out ourselves, and we found that indeed there was an Israeli station broadcasting on 8127 kilohertz shortwave in upper sideband mode. Now, some people had managed to actually identify this as being Voice of Israel, Kol Israel, and they'd assumed it was the domestic service. But in fact, when we listened and checked it out, it turned out that in fact it's the station run by the Israel Defense Forces, the IDF. The title of the station in Hebrew is Galei Zahal. And this was indeed broadcasting on 8127 upper sideband, relaying its domestic service, which in fact does include relays of news from Kol Israel in Hebrew, which is why the earlier identification by other people had in fact assumed that it was Kol Israel. Now, you're right in saying that we last actually heard this station, IDF Radio, back in December 1980. Again, at that time, it was broadcasting on various out-of-band shortwave frequencies in upper sideband mode. The frequencies we've traced from our files being used then in 1980 were 3901, 5893, 6420, and 18128. Now, we haven't, in fact, heard it on any of those frequencies. We've only heard it on 8127. And as far as we can tell, it operates through the evening, night, and morning period on that frequency. We've heard it as early as 1750 GMT, and we've heard it continuing through the night and into the morning as late as 0800 GMT. Now, it's possible that because of propagation, we aren't hearing it in the daytime simply because it's fading out, but it's also possible that they're actually not relaying on that frequency during the day. They may be on another frequency which we haven't found yet. Or they may just not be on the air altogether. What we haven't really discovered is actually why they're doing this relay on shortwave, because IDF Radio has a very good broadcast system within Israel on both medium wave and on VHF, and we've had no indication that there's been any long-standing problems with that, though, interestingly enough, last weekend there was very serious fires in the Jerusalem area, which actually caused power cuts in Israel and one or two particular problems with radio transmission there. But these seem to have been put right now and don't seem to be connected with this shortwave relay. The only thing that we can speculate is that they're simply just using a feed of IDF radio, perhaps to test out some army transmitters, given that this station is run by the Israeli Armed Forces, and that maybe 8127 is perhaps a frequency which the army uses.
Right. Chris, do you have any other suggestions for people tuning in on the beach?
One thing I can say that has gone off the air is that this is something that people can't tune into because it's actually disappeared. Lithuania, many listeners, particularly in Europe, will be familiar with the fact that Lithuania broadcasts very extensively throughout the day, or used to, on 9710 kilohertz. They used to broadcast for most of their day their home service program on this frequency, and during the evening they would carry programs from their external service, Radio Vilnius, in English and Lithuanian on 9710. But this week the Lithuanians have announced that because of budget cutbacks, they're no longer able to do this. They're having to reduce their usage of transmitters, and this means that 9710, which in fact is the only shortwave transmitter that Lithuanian radio has actually inside Lithuania, is now off the air altogether. And it means that both their home service and most of their external services are only going to be broadcast on medium wave, and in the case of the domestic service, on VHF as well. Now, the Lithuanians still do have the use of one transmitter in Russia, which they hire for their external service, but it means that in terms of Lithuanian radio itself broadcasting from the country, Lithuania, that there's no more shortwave broadcasts at all now.
Chris Greenway there with a non-beach item.
Yes, well, I hope Radio Vilnius doesn't disappear altogether, because they make some very interesting programmes. The military use of shortwave turns out to be interesting too. If you look through utility handbooks of about 15 years back, they were all predicting that by 1995 there would be very little military traffic on shortwave. All of it, they said, would have moved to satellite, leaving the bands clear for broadcasters to expand. That was the theory, but it didn't turn into practice. Willem Bos spends a lot of his time watching utility traffic while testing receivers for Media Network. I asked him whether he was surprised that shortwave is still in use.
No. You see, in fact, more and more use of the shortwave spectrum because modern techniques are able now to make point-to-point connections on shortwave with a high reliability. For instance, if a satellite is broke down or even in times of war shut down, then you are losing all your communications. So especially military and governmental organizations see that problem. So they're still using the shortwave bands, and modern techniques like spread spectrum and frequency hopping techniques makes it possible to use the spectrum a second time. I will explain that. For instance, it is possible for, let's say, military communication to transmit a signal which is so wideband spread out over the spectrum that you can lay it over the broadcasting bands. You don't hear the signal, it's just noise. And modern techniques like digital signal processing and so, they filter out of the noise all the components and reconstruct the original modulation.
There's another technique to hide a military communication signal, and that's raised in a letter from Mike Ward of Leicester in the UK. It's possible to synchronize a receiver and transmitter so that the message is actually broadcast over a variety of different channels. The first part of the message goes out for a few seconds, let's say on 10 megahertz, then it moves to 9.9, then to 10.1, and so on. In practice, it can happen several times a second, so-called frequency hopping.
They're using a lot of frequencies and they hop from one to the other frequency and by a special code. So the receivers which may receive that signal have also that code and they jump in the same sequence as the transmitter. So that's frequency hopping techniques. Spread spectrum is simply spread out your modulation over a bandwidth, let's say 100 kilohertz. And then it becomes noise. It is digital noise on the level of the atmospheric noise. You don't recognize it as a transmitter.
Willem Bos.
Clever people, the military.
Yes, and I think it's fascinating to see how the industry is developing. You have companies busy selling the military very specialized direction-finding equipment, and yet many of the same firms market these spread-spectrum systems that are designed to hide a message in the background noise. So, in theory at least, the opposition wouldn't even detect there's a transmission in the first place.
Amazing stuff. Right, now over to the telephone, Hilversum 6724222.
Paul Bowster in Wembley Park, England. Last year I told Media Network about British Forces Radio's operation for the Royal Tournament in London on FM. This year the station is back on 107.8 MHz operating throughout the month of July. Programming consists in off-peak times of relays of BFBS Germany with some programmes from BFBS London. During peak times, local programming is broadcast of BFBS type programming. News, of course, comes from the BFBS newsroom in London. The signal this year is much stronger than it was last year. Last year, I was unable to hear the station at all at my home in Wembley Park, to the northwest of London. This year, the signal can be clearly heard in this area. The station is broadcast from the Earl's Court Arena, site of the 1995 Royal Tournament, which itself starts around mid-July.
Thanks for the call, Paul. We understand that the World Radio Network will have a similar sort of licence for the London area, putting international broadcasters onto the British capital's airwaves in September.
More news from Holland now. Allard Berens, director of radio for Veronica, announced last week that despite losing one of its major investors, the publishing giant Elsevier, the new 24-hour news radio on 1395 kHz will start sometime in September. Veronica has started recruiting new staff in the hope of bringing mainly Dutch domestic news, weather, traffic and sports to a target audience aged 25 to 50.
This is a much younger age group than the public Radio 1 news network, which apparently appeals to people of 55 and older. Problems with the frequency of 3095 kHz, though, haven't been solved. The 1 megawatt transmitter from Radio Tirana in Albania uses the same frequency in the evening hours for Transworld radio programming, and after dusk there is a problem with mutual interference. There seem to be negotiations going on between Veronica and Radio Tirana to reduce the clash, though, as much as possible. More on that later.
Behrens also told Media Network that plans to broadcast Veronica 1395 from a ship at Pampus, the little island close to Amsterdam, have been cancelled. Instead, a new transmitter will be built at Lopik, right in the heart of Holland, and Lopik is already a centre for radio and television transmitters.
Next Monday, July 10th, Radio 10 Gold says it's planning to take the Dutch government to court. They're furious at the procedure used recently to award 2 FM licences to competing stations Sky Radio and Radio 538.
Time to catch up with events in the Pacific, for which we bring up the line to Invercargill, New Zealand, and our reporter Arthur Cushion. Arthur, we understand that bits of Radio New Zealand are for sale.
Yes, the commercial arm of Radio New Zealand is up for sale. The government have put through a bill through the House. It's now before a select committee for observations and comment. The network is a commercial network. It consists of 40 stations. It has over 1,000 employees. The earnings last year were $69 million and the profit was $3 million. So it's really a disaster, really. It's a state-owned enterprise, and it's certainly not living up to its value, really. And it's estimated it's worth about $40 million, either as a network or the stations can be sold individually. One was sold last year, the first one at Gore. It's making great strides as a private station. So I think there is possibility for breaking up of the network and stations having a private role. The public service radio, that's non-commercial, that's national radio and the concert network, that has been granted $19 million to continue on its broadcasting. One of the pieces that are a bit of a worry to me and a lot of others are the fact that what's going to happen to Radio New Zealand International, because at the moment it's funded by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and you will recall in March in Canada the Minister decided to push the RCI back onto CBC, and we hope the same thing's not going to happen in New Zealand, because certainly our national non-commercial network haven't got the funds to sustain the shortwave service. So those are some of the things that'll be happening, but they reckon the network will be all sold by December, and that'll be 40 stations moving over to new owners. One of the things that we will miss is the parliamentary relay, because it's on a commercial network, though there's no commercials during Parliament. But parliamentarians may be thinking twice about selling that network, which consists of 4 stations. We've had the shortest day, and of course, at our listing post outside the city, quite excellent reception, particularly from the Caribbean, Colombia, and Peru. And one of the interesting signals is on 930 kHz, and it's the BBC World Service on Radio Antilles, heard about 0330. And on 1020, the Caribbean Christian Radio, which operates with 20 kilowatt, has been heard at 0400 with the identification.
Comes to you every weekend at 11 p.m. on Saturday night and 6 a.m. on Sunday morning, right here on Caribbean Christian Radio.
In the city here, 1470 is the best channel for a Latin, and that's Antenna 1, broadcasting from Lima. It can be heard from around 0500 to past 1000, and there are many other frequencies which are audible just at dusk, and they consist mainly of Central and South American signals. But it's interesting, Frank Jonathan, that there's been the expedition up to the Cook Islands, and they've done wonderfully well. They've been getting signals up there from Argentina and Brazil, which we don't get the signals on the east coast of South America down here, but up in the Pacific, they were getting a lot of signals from that area.
So it's a sort of medium wave festival, bearing in mind the low sunspot numbers.
Yes, it is, yes.
Arthur, thanks for joining us. Sad news of the weekend. One of America's best-known rock and roll music personalities died on Saturday. Wolfman Jack, whose real name was Robert Smith, was born in New York in 1938. He enjoyed horror movies and so invented his stage name. His career spanned four decades, but probably he was best known for his time in 1964 on the superpower Mexican border blaster XERF. The station filled the southern US with all sorts of outrageous claims and offers.
Yes, friend, we're going to send you 100 baby chicks right now for just $3.95 cash check or money order. Now, just imagine all the fun you're going to have with these little babies. You just lead them around on little leashes. You give them little names. And then, of course, as they grow up and comes wintertime, you cook them and eat them. It's going to be just fun for you. We're going to give you 100 of them for just $3.95 plus COD charges. And if you order right now, your Wolfman gonna send you absolutely free of charge a life-size picture of me autographed that glows in the dark.
Well, in fact, he appeared in a picture, the 1973 movie American Graffiti. Ironically, Wolfman was just returning to his home in North Carolina from a tour promoting his new book, Have Mercy, when he collapsed and died. He was 57, and his voice will be missed.
Mike Bird. Propagation.
Come on, Mike, surprise us. I bet the weather is cold and miserable in Melbourne.
It's certainly cold. It's not raining, but, you know, as I keep on saying, it's winter. So we have to put up with this sort of weather, Diana.
And what about the propagation review?
Solar activity was low all week. The solar flux was 74 at the beginning of the week, and by Tuesday it had risen to 81. The average works out to 78. And that represents a sunspot number of 17, which is up 10 points on the previous week's level. The geomagnetic field disturbance indicator, the estimated planetary A index, range between 7 and 14, which represents quiet to unsettled conditions. So there we have it, not a bad week.
Right, and what about between now and next Thursday, lucky July 13th?
Well, Diana, we've got everything crossed for another reasonable week. IPS Radio and Space Services expects solar activity will remain very low and the geomagnetic field should hopefully remain quiet to unsettled.
Thanks, Mike. And next week we're taking the show to Africa.
Has radio followed or promoted the revolution? Find out in 7 days. Join us then. Goodbye for now.
Media Network is a Radio Netherlands presentation, copyright 1995, small print, blah, 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 blah. Usual distribution laws apply, and we family connections to lawyers who'd love to sue you. Yakety-yak, blah, 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 fine print, many lawyers, lots of dough.